Tonight's topic is mindful intention. It's about intention tonight. I had an idea about talking about a number of different energies, loving kindness and intention and patience and a number of them. But as I was writing the talk, I realized, no, I really wanted to hone in on intention, but they all are these beautiful energies. So much of my understanding of Buddhist practice really boils down to teaching ourselves to come into the present moment, first of all. Be here now, as Ram Dass says. And then infuse this moment with as much kindness, loving kindness, patience, investigation, courage, as we can. And the way that we do that, the way that we launch that journey, and the way we stay on the path is through intention. So I have a short talk. The talk, I think, is just about 10 minutes long. So what I'd like to do is, before I offer this talk, and then after I offer the talk, on both ends, I'd like to bookend it with music. So to start, let's do the first three songs on your song packet. The first one, I put these little song packets together today, and I neglected to put the name of the woman who wrote it. It's by Rabbi Sheffa Gold. And she writes, instead of saying, welcome this moment, she says, Shalom Aleichem, which in Hebrew means peace be unto you. And for our purposes, I change it to welcome this moment, but it's similar. What the practice is and what the invitation is and the teaching of this first piece is, can we really feel what's happening here and now? Can we feel our bodies, our hearts, our emotions? Even notice what's going on in our thoughts. And hold it with a welcoming energy, an inner smile. Hold what's happening now in kindness. So I'll sing a line and then you can repeat after me, like so. Entering in. Settling down, opening up, gathering round, entering in, settling down, opening up, gathering round, yeah, and then we say, welcome this moment to you. Welcome this moment to you. We'll do that again. Entering in, settling down, opening up, gathering round, entering in, settling down, opening up, gathering round. Welcome this moment to you. Welcome this moment to you. This next song, I Have Arrived. Vietnamese Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh says this is the shortest full teaching he ever gave. These words here. In this song, I've Arrived. Music by Betsy Rose, a wonderful local singer-songwriter who sometimes sits in the seat here when James and Kate are away. also. The teaching is that we can have ideas of home. We might even have somewhere we're going home to tonight. May it be so for all of us and all beings. But really, all that's ever happening is what's happening right now. And so can we, like, hunker in and see what is happening in this home of the present moment? I'm solid. Can you feel the earth under your body? I'm free. This is the place, this moment, where we're actually alive. In the ultimate I dwell, this ultimate timeless now. So this one I'll sing for you. And again, you can, there are repeating phrases. And as you get the melody, please join in. And as I said before, zero pressure on singing. Like Ernie said, you're completely welcome to sing, no matter what mean thing a music teacher said to you in third grade. Completely welcome to sing, and also completely welcome to not sing. Whatever is feeling right for you. I have arrived. I am home in the here and in the now. I have arrived. I am home in the here and in the now. I am solid, I am free, I am solid, I am free. In the ultimate I dwell, in the ultimate I dwell. I have arrived, I am home, in the here and in the now. I have arrived, I am home, in the here and in the now. I am solid, I am free, I am solid, I am free. In the ultimate I dwell, in the one more song, song number 3, May We. These are the traditional loving-kindness phrases in Buddhism. When the Buddha taught loving-kindness, he didn't actually teach phrases. He taught his monastics, radiate love for all beings. Simply radiate love for all beings. That was his instruction. And then about 1,500 years later, a Buddha, which is 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, a Buddhist scholar took that instruction and elaborated it to create these phrases around safety and peace and health and ease. And these are the longer versions. And what I learned is that I learned this actually from teacher Sylvia Borstein, you can take phrase practice and put them to music if it helps you to stay with the phrases. The idea is that we are teaching our minds these kind wishes to incline toward well-being. So I'll sing the whole thing for you once with the I pronoun so that you can hear the phrasing, and then we'll do call and response, and then we'll sing it through together. So it sounds like this.
May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May I be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May I be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May I take care of myself and live with well-being.
All right, so I'll sing a phrase, one whole like sentence, and then you repeat after me.
May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm.
Yeah.
May I be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May I be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May I be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May I be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May I take care of myself and live with well-being. May I take care of myself and live with well-being.
Yeah, great. And now we'll switch to the you pronoun so you can bring to mind somebody who you wish well, somebody who naturally makes you smile, and send them these well wishes.
May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May you be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May you take care of yourself and live with well-being.
Good. And then for may we. So for may we, just let beings come into your mind. They could be loved ones or beings that you don't know, human or animal, far or near. Let beings come into your mind and allow your heart to offer them well-being.
May we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May we be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May we take care of ourselves and live with well-being.
Lovely, thank you. All right, intention. In the late 1990s, I was on tour. I was a singer in a trio called Rebecca Riot's Feminist Folk Trio. Yes, 15 years. So late 90s, we were in a little van, and we were touring the country. And we were playing mostly colleges and house concerts and intentional communities. And can I say, if you get discouraged by the times and you need to lift your heart, go visit a few intentional communities. People are doing beautiful things. So anyway, we get across the country, and it's Thanksgiving. So I drop one of my bandmates off at her sister's house
and my other bandmate off at her girlfriend's mother's house. And then I drive off to go to my friend's to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I get lost. And this is before GPS. So I was on the road for 6 hours before I finally made it. And I went through several states, which you can do on the East Coast. And for some reason, I don't remember why, all we had to listen to in the car was a cassette tape, one cassette tape in the van, one cassette tape of Thich Nhat Hanh, Vietnamese Buddhist teacher. And so I listened to that talk repeatedly for 6 hours. And the talk, which is a blessing, actually. And the talk was about how the mind is like a garden. We have some choice in what we plant and what we weed out in a garden, and similarly with our own minds. Some things in our minds are like flowers. They brighten us. They're beautiful. They brighten other people. And some things in our minds are like weeds. They take over. They don't look so great. They seem to be endless and persistent, and you can never totally get rid of them. So there's a lot that is not in our direct control, and even our own, so, you know, like what's happening in another country, or even what's happening in our neighbor's home, is mostly not something we can radically change. We can make change. And we're urgently advised in Buddhist practice to lean toward compassionate action. We can definitely make change, but there's a lot that's out of our control in this life. And frankly, our minds are largely out of our control as well. But like a garden, there is some stuff we can do. There is some possibility of planting flowers and pulling weeds like in a garden with our minds for the purpose of supporting our ease and peace. So let's say that much to your astonishment, you have inherited a big garden. It's wild and beautiful. But there are also certain places that are overrun by poisonous weeds. And this is sort of what it's like to have a human mind. We've inherited these marvelous thinking minds, and they can do a lot of good. But often, they can create havoc for us and for others. Because the seeds that have been cast into these gardens by the winds of our cultures, of our families, of the media, of social media, of everything we've learned, including what we've observed and taken in. All these seeds have been planted in here, and then they do their thing. Most of us have some combination of beautiful thoughts and impulses, along with habits and beliefs that don't serve us or anyone else. So the question is how to respond. And there are lots of different strategies for working with our minds. And what I want to talk about tonight is this very powerful energy of intention. So I want to talk about two definitions of intention. And the first is a thought that precedes action. Everything that we do, like I'm moving my arms right now, well, before the arms are moving, it happens fast. Before the arms are moving, there's an intention to move the arms. Everything that we do, every action, every word is preceded by an intention. And with mindfulness, another superpower that we can practice and grow, we can begin to notice the intentions that go beneath actions and observe with curiosity and see which ones serve our well-being and which ones don't. For example, a while ago, I was content, and then I got a text that really upset me. So I read this text, and I could feel myself go right into fight, flight, freeze, just like. And it was a strong feeling. So I responded right away, and I texted back an angry text to the person who'd sent the text that I didn't like. And then my phone rings. The person's calling me. And I go from fight into freeze, and I don't pick up, I don't answer the phone. And so eventually we resolved it by email, but it took a while. And it took me quite a while to calm down my nervous system. You know how this has ever happened to you, where like something unpleasant happens like that, and the actual incident itself, like in real time, probably lasts about less than 5 minutes. But because of the mind and it's wanting to like work it out, it keeps replaying and replaying, and then the nervous system keeps going again and again, over and over, because of what the mind is doing. So that's what happened. So I had enough mindfulness to see that and to see that my intention to respond from anger did not serve my well-being. So then later, a few weeks later, I got a phone call that upset me, and I remembered the texting incident, and I made a conscious decision, and I felt my reactivity again, and the decision, and the intention to respond from anger, and I knew that if I followed that trail, it would upset my nervous system again. So I chose not to follow that intention. I stayed on the phone with the person. I stayed calm. I intended to respond kindly but set a boundary, and I did that. And I got off the phone. And my calm was restored much more quickly. So that's an example of how when we see the intentions beneath actions and can see which ones serve us and which ones don't, we can begin to make choices about what we'll do and what we won't do. And you can see how this is like a garden. The planting of the seed is the planting of the good intention. And the weeding of the unwanted thing in the garden is the restraint around acting on an intention that won't serve us. So that's one aspect of intention that can be very powerful. And sometimes with gardens, actual gardens, we don't just plant seeds. We decide we want something sort of giant and gorgeous and central in our garden. So we go to the garden store and save up our money and pick out something fantastic to put in our garden. And then every time we're out there, it brings us joy to see this thing. And if you look up the dictionary definition of intention, that type of sort of giant, fabulous intention is what the definition of intention usually points to. So it will call it a determination to act in a certain way or resolve what one intends to do or bring about. And synonyms are like aim and ambition and aspiration and dream. And those kinds of intentions are really, really powerful too. They are really wonderful. We can create conscious intentions to guide our lives. Many years ago, a teacher of mine asked me, what He said, "What is your deepest intention?" And that's something for us all to think about. What is your deepest intention? Well, when he asked me that, I had no idea. No one had ever asked me that before. I never thought about it. I was just kind of going through life. So I really worked on it. I thought about it a lot. What is my deepest intention? And I formulated something. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I think we all formulate these, can all formulate these things for ourselves. But what I will tell you is that this intention for me has been like a North Star. And I'm trudging along on my path, making mistakes, falling down, getting confused. But because I know what my deepest intention is, I can get up and reorient and continue in that direction. And lo and behold, as time goes by, my life is more and more and more in alignment with that deepest intention. In the book, The Mindful Brain, Dr. Daniel Siegel, professor of psychiatry at UCLA School of Medicine, writes, quote, "Intentions create an integrated state of priming, a gearing up of our neural system to be in the mode of that specific intention, readying to receive, to focus, to behave in a certain manner." In other words, purposeful intention setting helps our minds know what's important to us. Our minds like to know that. And then they get to work. Our neural system is primed. It's so interesting. It's like they sort of know, oh yeah, if this is what I want to do, then this is the other thing I need to do. And they find opportunities, our minds do, and behaviors, and people, and conversations, and things that are in alignment with that intention that we've set. Like a big, beautiful, flowering tree in the middle of your garden. And lastly, like gardening, working with intention is not something we do for a little while and then put down. Weeds run deep, and tender plants need care. It's ongoing and requires perseverance and a commitment for the long haul. It does really help. You know how in the beginning we were doing the chanting about Buddha, Dharma, Sangha? Sangha, spiritual community, like-minded community, really helps us tend these intentions for well-being. The Buddha called this practice swimming upstream because there's so much in mainstream culture, there was there and there still is, that doesn't serve well-being. It's innocent ignorance, but it doesn't serve well-being. We look for ourselves and see, what does serve well-being? And then we set our intentions around that. And coming to communities like this for support can be really helpful. Critical, actually. So, not too long after listening to Thich Nhat Hanh on a cassette tape for 6 hours, I wrote a song called Gardener on the topic of intention. It's in your little song packet. It's song number 6. I'd like to sing it for and with you now. Thank you.
It's really hard not to go where my whims urge me to go. But I know what sort of person I'm longing to become. If I want to help anybody in the world before I die, if I want the suffering all around us to subside, I have got to be more conscious of the things I do and don't do. Every little seed in time will flower. Plant the ones that lead me down a path toward really helping. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener. In this very moment, I reap fruit from choices past. Choices for the future are made now. Certain habits, deeply rooted, flourish in the heart of me. Repetition, like the seasons, comes naturally. Some of it's good, some of it's not. Right now this is all I've got, but it doesn't mean it's all I'll ever be. Choosing which part of me to act from is easier when I know what I want to become. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener. This planting of seeds is more subtle than it first appears. It's not just about a dollar to the homeless man. It's about perceiving what's happening in this very moment, then deliberately choosing to extend love. It's really hard not to go where my whims urge me to go. But I know what sort of person I'm longing to become. If I want to help anybody in the world before I die, if I want the suffering all around us to subside, I have got to be more conscious of the things I do and don't do. Every little seed in time will flower. Plant the ones that lead me down a path toward really helping. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener, yeah.
Yeah, so we just keep on going out in that garden. And you know what really helps with this process too? Self-compassion. Because it ain't easy. No one said this life is easy, because it isn't, even for very privileged folks. And even with the obstacles, external and internal, we persevere. And we hold ourselves in so much love and patience all the way through. Our minds, our hearts, our bodies. A lot of kindness. Jimmy Cliff, knew hardship, and nonetheless wrote this amazing song about intention. It says, persecution you must bear, win or lose, you've got to get your share. And yet, you know, he teaches about hanging in there. Thank you.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want, but you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Persecution you must bear. Win and lose, you got to get your share. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it, though hard it may seem. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Rome was not built in a day. Opposition will come your way. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it. Oh, you can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try, till you succeed at last.
As more and more of us set these intentions around discovering the true source of well-being and then aiming ourselves in that direction, we create momentum. Remember again when Ernie was speaking at the beginning tonight, he was talking about how we create a field. There's energy and goodness as we collect together. Setting these intentions and then walking in that direction to the best of our ability. So let's let John Lennon, Buddhist teacher John Lennon, talk to us. Song number 8. For some of us, this could be, you know, we were there and listening when John Lennon released this song. And for others of us, you might have heard it sitting at a campfire. But it's still a really fantastic teaching. Imagine there's no heaven. We have to start low because it gets high. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
I hope someday you will join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, or folks with empty hands. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us, and the world will live as one.
So we're going to do one more song, and before we do, I just wonder if anybody has any questions about this talk tonight, or your practice, or anything that you want, or comments. Okay, so we close tonight with a loving kindness practice and the dedication of merit. And for tonight, I have a card to read. But for tonight, I'm going to conflate those two practices into this song. So it's the last song in your book. Lit. The dedication of merit. So in Vipassana Buddhism, we dedicate the merit in a very simple way. Well, first let me say that dedicating the merit is the understanding that we've generated some good energy. And then we want to use generosity practice and offer it out as though our energy could penetrate the walls and the ceiling of this building and go out to beings who need good energy right now to soothe, to motivate, to comfort. May it be so. Would it be so? So that's our belief, our practice anyway, to offer this energy out. So in Vipassana Buddhism, the closing of the dedication of merit is very simple. It's the way that I usually hear it said, a variety of ways, but usually is something like, may the merit of our practice be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere be free. It's a very beautiful wish. Well, in Pure Land Buddhism, which is what is practiced here, it's a longer one, and these are the words. They're translated from the Mandarin by the abbot of this monastery, Reverend Hung Shui. And the day that he was inspired to translate this from Mandarin was September 11th, 2001. The planes had hit the towers. He was at an interfaith conference at a convent in Illinois, and the conference was canceled. And what his heart moved him to do was to translate these into English. And then later he found that it worked beautifully with this melody by Lorena McKennitt. So I learned this from Reverend Hung Shui, dedicating a wish for loving kindness, peace, and freedom. And we're sending it to all beings, including Andy, who is undergoing a mental health crisis. May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light,
Share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light ease the darkness of our endless night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise.
If you wish to keep this song sheet, it's my gift to you. If you think that you will not use it again, then please return it, because I will use it again. Otherwise, I'll just make more copies. And I forgot to tell you that I have a new weekly podcast, and it's on Spotify. So that's fun. All right. Thank you so much for your kind attention. It was an honor to be here. Many well wishes.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.